Before you answer, let's do that because I'll call some other people. Let's do that. This is not outside. You're not talking outside. You understand? This is not the public. You are told. So don't worry, just say what's on your mind. You get it.
Okay, so depends on what you're attaching. So probably apart from the fact that probably that's probably attaching something else.
Okay, so a big boy to me, apart from the fact that he has money, because anybody can have money, is the fact that probably has achieved something in his life. He has gotten to a stage in his life that he has already been working for. Like, he has gotten to that standard. Do you understand? So, for example, now, before I start seeing myself as a big boy, probably I've gotten to a stage where I have achieved what I've been thinking of, probably apart from getting a house and a car. I've gone to study aerospace and I'm back.
Aerospace.
I've gone to study aerospace and I'm back. And I'm back. So at least that stage, I feel like, oh, I'm a big boy, you don't have money.
Alright, let's start for him now. The most important thing. That's amazing. Okay, Chika. Who's a big kid? Me him. Let's open Colossians 1. I'm just talking like 1 or 2 minutes. Colossians 1, verse 13. Let's check 12. Amen. Amen. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Amen.
Amen.
I'll try and explain this thing as easy as possible. Giving thanks to the Father. And it says, the Father has qualified us. Amen. If you come, please. We give thanks to the Father because the Father qualified me to be partaker, to be a partaker of the inheritance of saints in the light. So there are some people. Let's say this guy is on this road. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
These guys are powerful people. And they call them the saints in the lines. Amen.
Amen.
What are you guys?
Saints in the lines.
What are you guys?
Saints in the lines.
What are you guys again?
Saints in the lines.
So these guys are the saints in the lines. Powerful people. In the eye of God. And these guys have an inheritance with God. Are you following me? And let's assume that he is a rascal. You know what God did? According to the scripture, we give thanks to God because God qualified a thing. If it's not worthy, since it's like this, we do it like this, we speak. You get? But God qualified a thing to be a partaker of these guys that are sitting down on thrones like this, of the saints in the light. You get? Next verse. And so we'll go down to the game. He's saying he has delivered Efe from the power of darkness and he took Efe to the kingdom of his beloved son or the son of his love. That's what God did. Took Efe from darkness, took Efe into light. And you know, Efe obtained this thing. Efe got born again. That's how she did. That's what you can say. She just got born again. That's what she did. She just believed in her heart and confessed with her mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he has come to save her. That's what she did. And because she did that, she was taken from here and she joined those people that are with God. Amen.
Amen.
So now, all of us that are born again here, that's what we did. We just believed in our hearts and we confessed with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And because of that, God took us and put us and gave us inheritance with saints in the light. Amen. He put us in the kingdom of his son. Amen.
Amen.
So now we're in the kingdom of God's son. We're in the kingdom of Jesus. Jesus is our king. I don't want this to be wrong. Jesus is our King. Amen. Let's say Jesus is our King.
Jesus is our King.
Now, those that God has not taken from here to death, they are still in darkness. Doesn't matter what they have. Doesn't matter who they are. Are you hearing me? They are still in darkness. If you have the whole world, and your soul is not saved, and your spirit is not with Christ in the kingdom of God, you are still in darkness. Amen.
Amen.
But we that are here, we're in the light. Amen.
Amen.
We're in the light. We're in the light. I can't tell you the difference between or the distance between this darkness and light. I can't say the distance. I can't imagine it. Anything I try to say, I don't say anything. Because anything I tried to say did not describe it well. The distance between this darkness, people that were, are here in this kingdom of darkness, and people that are in the kingdom of light. The distance, I can't start telling you because I don't even know it to the fullest. Anything I say will downgrade that distance. There's a great, there's a massive distance between them. Between the guy that got born again yesterday, that doesn't know anything, he just dropped that secret yesterday, bam, and said, Lord, you're my savior. The time between that guy and Davido, the distance, I can't describe it. Do you understand? Davido needs that guy. If Davido was wise, Davido would be kneeling down begging that guy to give him life. That guy now, that just dropped cigarettes yesterday, he has life. God has taken him from here to there. He has life. Let me now tell you something. You want to hear?
Yes,
not just that he has life. His life. Amen.
Amen.
Not just that his life. His light. Not just that his light. His salt. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody say, I'm light.
I am light.
Say the thing, say, I'm light.
I am light.
Say, I am life.
I am life.
Say, I am salt.
I am salt.
Say, I am life.
I am life.
I am light.
I am light.
I am salt.
I am salt.
Amen.
Amen.
Guys, you have power. You are life. You are what the world needs. The world needs life. And you are life. You are life. You're meant to enter a place and light the place up. That's how you're meant to be. Amen. You're meant to enter a dead place and you are alive. The place lights up. The place wakes up when you enter. Amen.
Amen.
You are salt. You're meant to enter a bitter place and the place sweetens up when you enter. Because you are salt. Amen.
Amen.
That's who you are. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That's who you are. You are light. You are life. You are salt. Let's say it again. Say, I am life.
I am life.
I am light.
I am life.
I am salt.
I am salt.
One more time. Put your hand on your chest. And one hand up. Say, I am light.
I am light.
I am life.
I am life.
I am salt.
I am salt.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Now, who do you know with big boys? If I ask you a big boy, I don't want to hear the same answer from around. I will flood you with kin. Real kin, not. And Chika. Chika, say, I'm light. Shout to say, I'm light.
I am light.
Kule, say, I'm life.
I am life.
Yeah. Anointing, say, I'm salt.
I'm salt.
Say, I'm anointing. Glory to God. I'm actually supposed to also take questions. Pastor, do we still have time? Should I still take questions for like 5 minutes? Anna? Okay. Alright, meet Jesus joy in our hearts. Readiness to be blessed. Let's rise on our feet and welcome Pastor Lauri.
You need to know that definition, else it will be a been begging to copy the assignment of Afaji when you are in his university. I'm serious, you need to know. If you don't know, you copy the, you say to the slave queen, and you are only leading prayers and fellowship. I'm serious, so I'm sure. If you don't know that this is what makes you different. You won't know when you will solicit for help from the person God has not helped. And that's the worst place to get help from. Somebody God has not helped. It's not even in any ramification, or it's not in any position to help you. You actually be a helper. You know, when they are saying, who needs a helper here, you actually do not to help. You know, when Paul was in that boat, you try and assume Paul, is Paul begging them that, no one will kill me now. It's because of Paul they didn't die. Hope you know. And it was just because Paul was going, so he's meant to see him. This is like he's meant to see him. He's meant to go. And Paul said, you know, he had a visitation of an angel that he will not die. I'm sure that's the way you should be in every situation. You should not be the one that they are fighting for. You are more fighting for them. At times, because you have been placed, that's why the place is safe. That's why your place is secured. Because you are in place, disease will not break out. Dig it. So, I mean, that's someone itself. I don't know if Pastor Tony plans to teach that. He just released it. Go and meditate first. You are life, you are light, you are salt. You know, at times, I always count it as a privilege to speak to us. But at times, people want to fall into this trap of, and there's so many things to say. But many a times, God will always help us to see His emphasis. I mean, what is really talking to us about? And I think that's one key thing. I don't think you can write that somewhere in your charter. Everybody here should actually have a journal. You don't have a journal in this church. You probably have misplaced the journal, or you've not gotten. I mean, like, we have that privilege that every one of us here should have a journal, except your brother. Your junior brother has used everything to do everything. He has done everything. And that's your fault. It's not your brother's fault. Amen.
Amen.
You are life, you are light. And that's the whole definition of it. So I will no longer look to the flesh to determine who is of high reputation. But you know that there are some ladies that will sell their body for some of these artists because they think in their mind that they are worth more than them. And anybody can lay down your body for you, feel there's a sense of that thing is worth more than you, so you are like submitting yourself. That's like a master. And that's what I'm saying. Says to whomever you yield your body to, that's your master. Doing it. So some people, if they do just enter the place now, corner boy, they are sold. They already bought them. Some of them is 1.5. Some is 100k. Whereas, and that's why you can't say you want to be dating the same man or any of those things. Do you get? Because you are the ones they need, and if you are part of one, don't get it, right? Then you now do your phone. Please, between now and Jesus' conferences or meetings when you know, washing cafe, that's what you should be doing. Not, I can't do that. I mean, that maybe the company invites. Because you don't come to be dancing in the center stage. No, not even the upper. I, as a person, it needs me. Do you get my point? It needs. See, it's the person that should render help that we dance to, who we listen to. That's why we listen to ministers of God. It's because they are sent to bless us, to help us. Do you understand?
Yes,
so Davido cannot come to town. And I'm the one having goosebumps. Do you get my point? You will understand this thing later. Do you get? But know it first. So that when they start giving you opportunities to make that decision, you know, at least do you understand it? I mean, it's length and breadth, why it should be. You just know that I'm in a better place. Do you get? And that's my own. You know, I remember when I was in secondary, I thought the definition of a big boy is one that has sneakers. The boys I never had. And if they were doing bash, you know, it was bash in the museum. They were saying, use the word bash. So they remember bash. Our own parties were called bash. I mean, Pastor Kenny, do you people still call it bash? I didn't know what bash is. This is organizing the bash. It's that. What they are. Well, oh, you never heard that one before. Oh my God. I've been sure I've been used to my inch. That's okay. And so because I didn't have these sneakers, you know, it was a trouble in my soul. I mean, my soul was what sneakers. And the old soul is the price of sneakers. And it's because I didn't have. And I felt if I had one, I would also amount to something. But it was Jesus I needed. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you very much, Pastor Tony. I hope that conversation will probably, we'll find some time to talk about that so that we can really understand some of these things. Please, if you're already sleeping, like I said, you are the one that has a problem. But that's why we are doing it, to solve the problem. Although this one is with game, it's not the word of God. Please just look beside me, left, right. If somebody is sleeping, just watch the person. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stay up here. Let's stay beside. You can see it bright. I see it very well. No, I'm talking to you very well. So that you can, if you want to go to the back also, you can help yourself. Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, before we let you speak, Father, we thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to come to your presence as your children, to come fellowship with one another. Thank you for this session. Thank you that you are the only one we are looking up to for to speak to us. No man has the word of life except you, Jesus. And we invite you to speak to us. We invite you to show us the heart of the Father. We invite you to touch our hearts once again. Father, we pray that every word that you speak to us would be converted to life and the pattern of life.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, Father. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you that you heal broken hearts. Thank you that you would cause deliverance in our souls. say Jesus, speak to us.
Amen.
Thank you, everlasting Father.
Amen.
We give you all the praise, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed.
Amen.
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 Amen. We really thank God for what God is doing in our midst. Can we appreciate ourselves? Just clap.
Yes, sir.
So you are not waiting for the day you fall down before you have that sense Because then you might fall that you might get to hit something. And you might know, you might never be interested in falling down again. And so God is doing something with you. And I want you to know that God is doing something with you. There's no drama. You don't need God to prove a point that he's doing something with you. The mere fact that you're a child of God, you are his project. Do you understand what I'm saying? The mere fact, except you're not a child of God, the mere fact that you've said that, God, I changed who is my father to you. You are now my father. Jesus, you are now my Lord and my Savior. Since that day, you are a project that somebody is in charge of forever. Meaning they are always saying, how far with this person? How far with this person? What are we currently doing in this business? And it's not about the age. God does not say, this one, we can't start investing in this person's life now. It will be always, it's still yet, and the person is very young. As much as anybody would come to that point where you know that your life is no longer in your hands, it's now in the hands of God. That day, God starts the day. It's not the day you pack out of your parents' house that God starts looking after you. You know, some of you wait for God's provision until after you pack out. Some of you have never exercised faith towards provision. It's when they now go and look in your house, like, wow. Where will I get carried from? Dig it. I'm serious, and I'm telling you also from my own personal experience. Some of you never experienced divine provision. Everything is my mom will provide, my daddy will provide, my mom will provide, my daddy will provide. Until they just sent you to that union. Money finished, and you are so restless. Do you get my point? So even if you are still, don't despise that you are still under, when they give you $5, no, my Lord, just supply all my supply. It's the supply they just brought to you. No, don't give me. I'm also eating from rabbits. Maybe ready like that. Rabbits are coming. Daddy, don't bring it. Rabbits are coming. Ladies don't that's what you hear. You won't hear ladies. So we need to exercise faith even while we are still under the roofs of our parents. I'm serious. Faith is not meant to be exercised when you pack your bag and you're not living under the roof of your parents anymore. I'm serious. Don't wait. It might be too late. Do you get my point? Even if your parent has everything, there are some places you get to, that's what they call born with, I'm sure if you eat what you want, I'm sure there are people like that who don't always be thinking, is everybody that is not eating what they want? They will say, please, what's the menu for today? They will serve, they will show them the menu, they cook away. Well, some people are living that life, so don't think, and it's possible, and God will do it for you also. Where you would, your needs will be met, you won't lack anything. Dig it. But if you're in that position where, before you, they serve you breakfast in bed, all those things, don't think that you are without divine provision. Don't think that you can't exercise divine. Divine provision is not for the poor. Divine provision is for all. Do you get my point? And even a way to practicalize it, you don't run out of cash before you start trusting God for more. Do you get my point? Now that's a way to practicalize what I'm saying. Like don't run out of money, don't run out of provisions. Maybe let's say for instance, maybe food. Don't run out of it before you know that God is your provider. You always put yourself at that place where you can always trust God as your provider. Did you get my point? And you don't always need to be at the point of need before you engage his divine provision. At times you can always even declare in the future, God, I know my future is settled. I know you've provided all that my future needs. I know you've supplied the right people that I will meet. So it's not about now. Do you get my point? It's not just about the present. The essence of God's provision is your heritage. Do you get my point? Many of the time we talked about God's prosperity, and we said first is our heritage. Divine prosperity, or prosperity itself, God's own prosperity is our heritage. Amen.
Amen.
And so last week, we were talking about a topic around Jesus being in our boats. Amen. How many of you still remember that conversation? And I'll try to wrap it up, and I'll move to an implication of that experience. I mean, the experience of Jesus being in the boat. Now, for those that were not here last week, please, how easy can we make that stuff accessible? I was even meant to reach out to, because I myself, I wanted to listen to it again. Do you get? Yeah, but I mean, if I'll try and do some recap. Do you get? Not just for those that can come, but just for the essence of what I'm meant to say, as per the implication of Jesus being on your boat or in your boat. Do you get? And so, you know, we looked at the scripture Mark chapter 4, where we saw that Jesus was on the boat of the disciples, right? And the storm came. I mean, they were on the sea, whether high sea or didn't necessarily tell us what part of the sea that they were. But we knew that there was storm, right? And they said it was boisterous, meaning it was serious. Didn't it? I'm practically sure, I'm not sure, I'm not representative, but I think most of us have not been in that kind of situation where you are on a boat and it's looking like it will capsize. I'm not sure if anyone of us has experienced that before. And so we can only imagine. I mean, the closest we can try to is maybe when we watch the movie, where we see this kind of things happen. Yeah. But we said that, as a believer, you've invited Jesus into your life, and Jesus, we use the boat as a typology of our life, I mean, to represent our life. And we said that, that we have, since we received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, Jesus has since then been in our boat, or been in our life. You get? And we said also that, you know, perhaps everybody's thinking that this message is for them. You know, no, this message is not for all. It's basically for those that have accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. But Jesus would also want to give this opportunity to every man. Do you understand? Everybody, God desires that all men be saved and they come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's desire. See, God has never for once said that this one can never be done again. There is no man on this earth that is without redemption. Redemption is for the hope that everybody will be saved is for God. So even that person that looks like this one will never change. You understand? You just agree that this one can never change. God has, how will I call it? God has that ability to see that somebody can change. Do you get my point? Because Jesus died for all. And so there's possibility of redemption over every soul. Do you get my point? But we said that the experience of Jesus being in someone's boat is after they've given their life to Christ. And so for the one that has not given his or her life to Christ, it's for them to start a journey. Do you get it? Now you can't copy and paste this experience, because this is just what we're talking about. It's not your, I mean, anybody, it's not your dad, it's not your mom. You can't even unique this experience. You can't try and copy what Jesus is doing in Amity's life. And Jesus is not present in your own life. You can't replicate what Jesus will do in Amity's life, in your own life. So the only hope that God will do something with you is that Jesus is also on your boat. Do you understand? Amen.
Amen.
So, like I said, I'm trying to recap some of the things we said last week. I was actually thinking I would give opportunity to maybe one or two people to maybe say what they still remember about last week. But there's really no time, so that's why I'm doing the recap myself. You know, and there was also something else we said last week that for every reason, you know, Jesus was in that particular boat. But there were also other boats on that sea. Now, the Bible didn't put any emphasis on what was going on there. Do you get my point? But we made that assumption that, I mean, there's no wind that is peculiar to a surface area on the sea. If all the boats are in the same if they're in the same area of the sea, I perhaps believe that the same experience would also be general. Anything the Bible did not touch, don't struggle to decode. You can make an assumption or you can make an inference, but you can't sit on it. Do you get my point? That would be you going to heresy. Do you get? Or an error. And so, but one lesson we wanted to pull out of that place was that there's a whole lot that Jesus is doing with you that is also going to affect every other person around you. Do you get? And we made an example that some of us, we are Jesus' solution to the problems in our homes. Some of us are the solution to chaos, because God will make you an epitome of peace. Do you get? So Jesus being in you, you would have mastered the art of not being perturbed when there's chaos. And you won't be wondering, what's wrong with this? And it's not that you are not interested. You know? It's not that you're not interested in what is happening at home. But you've mastered the God kind of peace. And so when there's chaos, you can be an example that people will say, please, we can't keep fighting. And you see this person now. The person is very troubled. And the thing has been affected the person more than us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The example I'm trying to give. So that Jesus is in us gives us a whole lot of opportunity to be an example, even within our immediate environment, whether our family, our circle of friends, our school, or your workplace. Do you understand? Amen.
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 Amen. You know, another thing we said also last week was that Jesus in your boat is the right qualification for you to even face the storm in the first place. Do you understand what I'm saying? You'll never be in a situation and immediately the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, God, why me? Do you understand? See, that unbeliever friend will die in that storm. If the unbeliever faces what you face, there's every possibility that they might not survive it. The reason why you are going through anything is never a sign that, Jesus is not with me, that's why I'm facing all these things. No. Bible says, in this world, you will face what? Many tribulations. Right? But you now give us hope. He says we should be of what? Good cheer. That he has overcome the world. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Jesus also talked about his peace. Before he left, he says, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth. You know? Meaning, you can be in a situation and do you know that Jesus is with you? He's an assurance that it is nothing. Amen.
Amen.
And so, that Jesus is in your boat does not rule out your experiences of facing a storm. And you can use different examples to understand this. I mean, there could be challenges. It's never an indication that God is not with you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And so when you go through stuff, when you go through things, please let me wake that man of God that is sleeping. When you're going through stuff, or when you face any situation that is confounding, your confidence is in that Jesus is on your boat, is in the boat with you. Amen.
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 And so one implication that I want to talk about. I'm just trying to be sure that there's no other outside thoughts. Before we move into. So we already talked about the storm will come. We talked about Jesus being a boat. We've also talked about, you know, God reaching out to those around us because he's on our boat. And that's the reason why God will bless everyone around you. Jesus in your boat is an extension or a window God can use to reach those around us. And so you don't take for granted the role of Jesus in your life. Amen. You don't take for granted. What did I say? You don't take for granted the role. So don't ever think that it stops. I spoil my life. There's every tendency that if you spoil your life, somebody else like will get spoiled. That's why there's every possibility that the child grows up in the house where they always fight. It will only take God for that child to be a fighter. Do you get my point? If a child grows up where a call is, the other is one of the dispenser. You know? Water is scarce. All you can easily fetch is beer or something. There's every chance. If God does not intervene in the life of that child, there's every chance that that guy or that lady, because it's not about a drunkard, is not just a, it's not a male thing. Do you get? Before I always think it was a male thing, like what you need, and I still need to smoke in and drink now. Ladies to smoke, to be honest with you, I never knew ladies smoke and drink until I got to the rack. And you publicly, not, and also weed. Now, somebody going to school, you need to know these things. At times, you want to use the restroom, somebody is smoking weed in the restroom. And you, because it's a public, in quotes, a public space, you can't say, please reduce the volume of your weed. You have to do your business and leave. Some of you have roommates. Like me, when I go into Finland, like I had four or five roommates. One was a gay, four were Yahoo plus guys. Not Yahoo like the ones that use jazz. That's what they call plus. That's what they call plus. I don't know who gave them the plus. But I think they said they founded that plus in Atlanta. And the obvious support is to do it. So that one is the minimum viable product for them. They were cultists. One that I know was particularly a gay. Then they were Yahoo customers, guys. And but that's the impression. And so I saw a lady smoke that day, and me on sport with. You know when you say, holy woman, you know that? I say, look more, you know they say, holy woman. It's not that, but I can walk and enter Ghana. I just thought I can be looking. And I won't know when I will enter and look for Africa. I don't know. Maybe because I don't used to go out. So a lot of things are missing. I'm looking. Until maybe your cadaver moves want to eat you. So I was so amazed at that sight. Not that it was interesting, but it was really amazing to know that a lady was smoking publicly. You get in the company of other guys. Yeah, and so you guys will see a lot in school. Don't be irritated. Do you get my point? They are doing a sense. You know, I'm a sent of God. Yes, you will not start seeing those. I'm sure school is the ground for evangelism. I'm sure you will see sin in its maturity. You know, you've always been watching Ron's Girl on TV. You will see them as roommates. Now, you've never seen somebody come to your house in 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. Some roommates will come drunk. Do you get my point? That's not my message to the adults. So let me quickly stop there. I'm not going to the nemesis in the university. That's not the same. But there are things happening to you, and you need to be equipped. Now, that's the reason why you're here. Now, there are some people that when they got to school, they were not prepared. I'm sure, I mean, they supposedly said they were born again. They got into school and, man, they became something else. Do you get my point? So the reason why you are here, the reason why we are intentionally equipping you, so that when you get to the battlefield, you will not be the casualty. Amen. I'm being distracted a lot with some things I've said this week. And I will not share this one because it will take me on a journey of no return. But that is a funny thing I'm saying, not something is never serious. And was the Superman that became a casualty. Was the Superman in India? No Indian things. It's always been the extreme. And so, the reason why we are here is so that we can equip you. And so, Jesus being in your boat is the guarantee that those around you will be saved. Do you get my point? It's the possibility, sorry, not guarantee. It's the possibility that if he's saved, it means God is in that house and God can visit somebody else. Do you understand? Like, me being saved was a guarantee that was a possibility of my own elder sister being saved. Do you get my point? So that's the way God sees his presence in your life. It's not just with you. It's not that if I don't go to church, maybe it's me that did not go to church. Oh, if I don't pray, maybe it's me that did not pray. At least my prayer doesn't affect anybody. No. It goes a lot to affect a lot of things that God has connected to your destiny. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why if you don't preach to the person you want to preach to, there's not a chance that person might be saved. You might be the only window for that person to be saved at that time. The person might just be on his way to death. And God just needed somebody to intervene. You know, God intervenes in people's life. God sends people to interject people on their way to perdition. And if that person misses that opportunity, or if the person they sent, maybe like the story of Jonah, says, oh, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. There's every possibility that that person might not receive salvation. So don't always say, if I don't talk, that somebody else will preach. And so if God lays it on your heart, tell that person that the way I love you, tell the person that I also love the person that way. Please just quickly by saying anyhow. You know, evangelism is the easiest thing, knowing fully well that God is the one that will speak through you. And you're not preaching anything that is strange. You're just preaching what he has done in your life. Now that's evangelism. We see complication around. Now evangelism, you go with someone if you do that God really loves you. Now that's evangelism. And the person say, how do you mean that God not really loves you? I was like this one, but this man took me from this to this. And so God in you is the assurance and the hope that you'll be able to effectively relate with that other person and tell the person what God is doing in you. Actually, that's the testimony of our salvation. You don't go by this and quoting scriptures. Quoting the one that is not in the Bible and the one that is in the Bible. Lump everything together. See, the power in evangelism is when it's coming from the source of a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus being in your boat or being in your life brings about some experiences. You can't have Jesus in you. And there is no, you know, that's what we call it, our personal relationship with. That's what we call it. Our work, some of you use the word my work. But it's more of your relationship with Jesus. And Jesus being in your boat is not just a miracle, it's just somebody just being inside your life as a number. Jesus is in your life to orchestrate something. So, you know, I was wondering this morning, and it's something I've thought about before. Why didn't Jesus just take us to heaven? Did they give our life to Christ? If there was really nothing to be doing after, if there's nothing to happen or there's nothing to look forward to after salvation, there's a lot to happen. It's often Your salvation is the beginning of the project. So it's not I'm saved and I want to remain rapture. No, that's not. It's not that you are saved and you're just waiting for rapture. There's a whole lot of conversation that they've locked, that they were just waiting for you to be saved. You know, there's a place in Ephesians, I think Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. What we're talking about, he has preserved you. That's for them. Let's just be clear. That's for my. It's not a good part of any of the scriptures I want to read. But I just want to use it to explain, no, or just address what I just mentioned now. Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 16. It's a very, very popular scripture. Are we there? I think there's he too. Is anybody feeling it? No. There's both. Maybe it's a matter I'm seeing.
It.
No, I'm sure. I'm actually feeling what? Maybe it's the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Yeah, so it says, therefore, I also, is this what I'm going to, let me be sure. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding, now this was that happening when Jesus comes into your life, like they want to set you up to give you these experiences. Number one, your eyes will be opened, that you will now understand what is the hope of your calling, meaning why did they get you saved? Do you get it? That's what you now start understanding. Jesus will start coming to you and he start explaining the essence why salvation came. Then he said, after that, you will now also know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Then you will also know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he had worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. Amen.
Amen.
I think another piece I wanted to read was when he talked about when we have been purchased, we were sealed with the Holy Ghost. And so God expects that you look forward to the activities that will begin to happen in your life, knowing fully well that Jesus is in you. And one of the implications is in Psalm 23. Let's go to Psalm 23. We'll read that scripture, take some few nuggets from it, and I think we'll be fine. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you have been blessed so far. Psalms 23. I'm sure that's a very popular scripture to us here. Some of you read it in your devotion or your family prayers and all that. So it says here, amen. Are we there?
Yes.
If you don't have the Bible, you can look at the screen up there. So he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. So let's read together. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. Please, we did not read that. I hope we all read it. And so one implication of Jesus being in our boat is that Jesus is our shepherd, or our shepherd. Jesus is not just in your boat as a friend. He's a friend, but he's not just a friend. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is not just in your boat. So that when you say, how many people are in your boat? You say, Jesus, my mommy, my daddy. No. The reason why Jesus is in your boat, one reason, is that Jesus wants to be your shepherd. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the places where we see, the word shepherd itself is being used for somebody who tends to. This man is really struggling, you see. Don't worry, maybe you should go to the back and maybe sit beside one of the teachers. In the future, please let me fetch this man. Amen.
Amen.
You shouldn't be sleeping in the church. Right? No, please come fetch him. Let him sit beside you. Amen. Please make it snap. Please make it snap. I'm waiting for you. Amen. If there's any other person sleeping beside, don't stop the person now. Amen.
Amen.
Feel free, you didn't wait for him. Which office is that going to school to do someone at? Say meeting at home. You know the spirit will tell you, Baba Mileo. Amen.
Amen.
Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Are we alive?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So one implication, please just stay with me 5 minutes and we'll be done, is that Jesus wants to be your shepherd. Jesus wants to be your shepherd. Now, as much as you told yourself that Jesus is my shepherd, it goes beyond the saying that the Lord is my shepherd. You know, that's a powerful saying. Some of us we say before we go out, you are just sure that Moto cannot jam you. Yes, that's true. Moto cannot jam you. Because you know that God is your shepherd. But God is not your shepherd as per confession. You know, when you say the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, this is no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Never, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want to know. That shepherd, he does something. We know the word itself is that somebody who's taking care of the sheep is the person we call the shepherd. Not just who is taking care of the sheep, or who is hired to take care of the sheep, but the person that is taking care of the sheep that can also die for the sheep. Because we also have hireling that can take care of the sheep, or that can look after the sheep. And so when we say Jesus is my shepherd, or the Lord is my shepherd, what we are inviting into our life first is we are identifying ourselves as sheep. At least, it's a sheep that will call somebody a shepherd. Amen.
Amen.
My sister, are you okay? Are you fine? Please, I want you to attend to her, please. Please, let's be observed. Don't just be listening to the message. The person is like you are falling down. Please, let's always look out for ourselves. I can't be that with the only ones around. I'm not looking. I'm looking, as in, if your face depends on my weight, I'm looking at your future space. I'm looking at your face. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I wanted to say, Mama should. I hope she's fine. I hope she's fine. And if she's wrong, please give her for me. Her time is longer. But you know, I'm sure so. It can be happening. And maybe also something that you're hungry and maybe just to eat. I think they call it what's when you destroy somebody. What do they call it in English? Dizziness. So as we were saying, we said the reason why you are saying that God, the Lord, is your shepherd is because you've identified yourself to be a sheep. And I want you to always know that whenever you go and read that place again, you are saying, I, a sheep, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen.
Amen.
Don't go and read that place again without knowing that you are a sheep. And like I said, the only reason why he has also called himself your shepherd is because he can lay down his life for the sheep, of which he has done. Abi? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He has done that. And that's why he is the rightful owner of that title. Shepherd. Shepherd. You know, there's a song we sing in church. Shepherd of my soul. Where did I go? Master's voice I know. You are the owner of my life. Your voice is all I need to say the words to me. And so the reason why we say the Lord is my shepherd, we know he's with us, but he has a role. And see, aside Jesus being your Lord and your Savior, beside him being your friend, you know, don't just even see him as alone as always. He's also your shepherd. Actually, they gave Jesus, he called himself the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, from verse 7 to verse 17, when he really talked about, actually, that whole John chapter 10 talked about the relationship of a sheep, and I mean a sheep and a shepherd, what a shepherd does and what a sheep also does. A sheep hears the voice of a shepherd, a sheep does not listen to the hireling. We're not reading there, we don't have time actually, but it was part of the scripture that I wanted to read. And so Jesus being in your boat is to be your shepherd, but not just to be your shepherd as per title, but to, you know, I mean, I don't know if you've seen a shepherd before. I mean, maybe in real life or maybe on TV. The life of the sheep is navigated and directed by the shepherd, meaning where the shepherd would get food, where the shepherd would turn to, where the shepherd would settle and live. The sheep would never one day say, I'm going to stay here. I'm not going again. No, that's not a sheep. Do you get my point? A sheep is the one that listens to the what? To the shepherd. And the role of the shepherd in the life of the sheep is to direct. Now, everything you see in that Psalm 23 is a journey. He says, he leads me on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
And regardless of what the sheep experiences, there's a lot of confidence there. He says, when I walk through the valley of shadow of death, you know, just almost a similar experience when you were on that boat. And they were probably going to face death. I mean, if the storm actually maybe capsized the boat, I mean, they might drown. I mean, yeah, there's possibility of death. But Jesus being your shepherd guarantees that even when you walk through the valley of shadow of death, even when you walk through situations that should kill you, the Lord being your shepherd is responsible for you. Amen.
Amen.
And so a man that knows that Jesus is in his boat, and that also knows that Jesus is his shepherd, will not be in a place where you have a sense of helplessness. I mean, you are lacking. You're like, I don't have this. I don't have that. Who provides this one for me? Who provides that one for me? No, he says, because I have a shepherd, I will not want. I think there's another version that says, I will not lack anything good. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack anything good. I think it's maybe NIV or Fire. I'm not sure. Maybe NLT. You're one of those other translations. And that's the truth. Jesus in your boat is to ensure that you don't lack anything good. Even when you're facing a situation where you probably need something to come through. Let's say probably you just need 5K. Like, if 5K does not show, then you will put to shame. No. The Lord being your shepherd is that you will face that situation. Whether the money comes or the money does not come, you will still remain whole. Amen.
Amen.
I want us to say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
So Jesus is not in your boat for fun. He's not in your boat for drama. Jesus is in your boat. I mean, amongst every other thing, but to be your shepherd. So don't see Jesus in your life as he's going to also have somebody in my life. At least I don't have a boyfriend. At least I have to. No. Jesus is in your life for an eternal purpose, and one of his roles is that he is your shepherd. Jesus is not the shepherd of everybody. Now, God is the God of the universe, but he's also not the father of everybody. To those that have identified with him, and the Bible says, as many as have received him, to them he gave what? The power to become the what? The sons of God. So it's not everybody that is in that father-children relationship with God. The Admiral is not a child of God. But God is not his father yet. The day he gives his life to Christ, that moment, you know, just like Pastor Tunde said, that moment, he becomes the most relevant person in that bank that God is going to use to probably maybe help every other person. Amen.
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 I think I'll find another time to really look deep into this topic. Because I wanted us to look at it, to study actually, not just preach. Study the book of Psalm 23 and look at the theme of that scripture, which is the shepherding of Jesus Christ in the life of the believer. And which is an indication also of Jesus being in your boat. Like I said, if Jesus is not in your boat, don't expect something. And I also want to say here, I mean, if you're here and you're not born again, we would always take this pause, because we can't always just be running and assuming every one of us here is born again. Idiot. And if you're here, you're not born again, you can be born again. Idiot. I'm telling you this afternoon that you can also receive Jesus into your life. And you can also have the experience of Jesus' peace and Jesus' joy and Jesus' presence in your life. You know, you can also say that, guys, do you know that Jesus is my life? Do you know that all these things that is affecting you, it can affect me? And so what I'm saying to you this morning, if you're not this afternoon, if you're not born again, I'm saying to you that you need to be born again. Amen.
Amen.
So let's rise up on our feet. Shepherd of my soul, where you lead I go, Master's voice I know.